Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, good morning. I'm glad you guys are here today, and welcome to Compass Church. If you are here for the first time today, you're in for a treat. I always laugh when people visit for the first time and it's not our normal pastor speaking, because it just gives you an opportunity to come back next week so that you can hear him, right? So thank you. If you're here for the first time, we're glad you're here. If you're a regular tender, I'm so glad to be sharing my story with you. If you know who I am, then you probably see me around in kids' ministries a lot. I'm Stacy Lux, and I direct the children's ministries here at Compass Church. So typically, I'm back in one of the smaller theaters back there, and I mean, we are hooting and hollering and worshiping God and learning about Him, and it's a blast. I love my job. I think it's a blast. So last week, Pastor Chris shared with us our vision for 2015, and I had gotten kind of sad because I was like, I love Vision Sundays because I was on schedule to work back in kids' church. But luckily for me, I got to listen to the podcast, and Chris said something that was really interesting. I loved how he set the example for us by saying that Jesus is our example, that Jesus spent his time with his disciples, and they, you know, he taught them, he showed them what he wanted to do, and then one day he just said, okay, now I'm leaving. It's up to you. It's yours. And I kind of laughed as I listened to that, because I'm like, literally, Chris is being Christ-like by not being at church today. He literally is leaving it up to me today, so... But really, in all seriousness, Chris and Terry rarely get the opportunity to be gone on a Sunday and get away for like a weekend for just the two of them. And their kids are on a kids' pastor's retreat. And so they decided to get away. And honestly, I'm so honored that he asked me to share my story with you today. But though I do know that Chris is probably going to listen to this podcast to like check up on me and make sure I did a good job. So I have a message for you, Chris, when you listen to this. One other thing that you said last week in your sermon was that Jesus always took care of the felt needs of his people that he was ministering to. So I just want you to know that I have this like really strong felt need for you to take me out for Chipotle. So just be Jesus. Okay. So many of you know my situation, but for those of you who don't, it was just 2 short months ago that I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And since then, I've had you call it a double mastectomy, but really it's a bilateral mastectomy. And that was only 4 weeks ago. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah? Amen? I really am. I was really excited to like share with people what my doctor's like, you're doing awesome. Like, usually people are like in bed in pain. I'm like, that's right. Awesome. That was just 4 weeks ago, and I'm about to start my first round of chemo any day. So that's the next part of my adventure. And I wanted to show you in my preparation for my chemotherapy, I've been kind of pouring myself into wig buying. And I wanted to show you a few pictures of myself in some crazy wigs that I've been buying, but I'm going to spare you that today. But if you want to see them, you can become my friend with me on Facebook. But before I get started, I want to just thank you guys for all of your prayer and your support. Every single night for 3 weeks after I had my surgery, we had dinner. Every single night. I want to thank you guys for doing that. I want to thank you for your gift cards and your words of encouragement and for your prayer for us most of all. Thank you. Yes, thank you. You guys are so awesome. I'm telling you, it really did make a huge difference just seeing the love that you poured out on us. And I was a little embarrassed at times. I'm so humbled by it, going, oh my goodness, do I deserve this much love? And guess what? Yes, I do. I do. I do. Thank you very much. So keep praying for me. This is still a fresh and new thing that I'm going through. And actually, my heart is still quite fragile as God is still in the process of taking me through this. But he's taught me so much in the short amount of time that I have at least 20 billion sermons to share with you today. Don't worry, I'll only give you one. I'll just do one. Maybe two. Two sermons. But today I titled my message, When Life Hands You a Detour. because nothing describes my story better than a cruddy, nasty, life-altering, where the heck am I going? This is not what I planned. I pretty much hate this detour. Ever had to take a detour? Sometimes they can be quite nice, like a leisurely Sunday drive. But more often, a detour will make you want to pull your hair from your head if you're not expecting it. Like when you're coming up on construction and you're already 15 minutes late to work. Ugh, so frustrating. But sometimes, life will throw you spinning into an even more devastating detour. And you may be experiencing that now in your life. A broken relationship, a crippling illness, your dreams being crushed, loss of a loved one. Any number of unexpected turns in life can leave you with feelings of depression, hopelessness, fear for the future, making you question the goodness and maybe even the existence of God. These are things that I know all too well. I'm going to back up and give you just a little bit of our history in order to set the stage for my story. My husband, Lewis, who runs around here kind of like doing technical kind of stuff, we both moved here about 6 months ago this summer. And we moved here from a little town just outside of Kansas City, Missouri. And we had the privilege of starting a New Start church there that went from 30 to 600 people in just 3 short years. We were busy doing full-time ministry. We were doing 3 services a weekend, and we're absolutely loving being a part of what God was doing there in the small Missouri town. My husband and I led the worship band. We were also in charge of children's ministries and directed everything from Easter and trunk or treats and vacation Bible schools and all kinds of fun events like that. Not to mention that my husband was in charge of the media and making videos. And when you're a part of a New Start church, I know that maybe in the future this will be what we have to deal with, but he was in charge of renovation projects. So we got this building, and he was constantly, constantly heading up renovation projects. Our blood, sweat, and tears literally were all over that place. We just knew that we had found our forever home. It was with a group of people that felt like family to us. And then just as we were planning to open a second campus in a nearby town, things took a very unexpected turn. One day, the people that we had loved and served alongside with for the past 3 years suddenly turned on us. And we felt confused, lost, and ultimately betrayed. As a result, we found ourselves packing up our small apartment to leave for the unknown because we didn't feel welcome at our church anymore. With disappointment and crippling grief, we ate some cake, put on our happy faces, and we're on our way to figure out what the heck we were going to do with our lives now. All we had known for the past 15 years was ministry, and we never, ever had thought we'd be leaving the church that we had started and that we loved so much. At the time, I was doing a devotional study by the book, One in a Million by Priscilla Shearer. And the book starts out by telling the story of the Israelites living in the captivity of Egypt. How for generations they lived there doing hard labor, and they were like whipped and beaten, and it was just a miserable existence in slavery there. For 400 years they were in oppression, just longing for the day that God would set them free. And you know the story, how God uses Moses, he sends him, talks to him in a burning bush, and then he sends 7 plagues to Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and they're like, let my people go, and Pharaoh's like, no, and let my people go, and finally he relents, and Pharaoh goes, fine, get out of here, I give in, you know, uncle, and the Israelites find themselves packing up all of their belongings, over 1 million people packing up their houses and their sheep and their herds of livestock and their families, and they start moving into the wilderness, the unknown. You see, they should have been happy, right? You know, they were free. God was taking them to the promised land. But you know what they did if you know the story. They grumbled. They complained. We need food. We need better food. And we need a golden calf to worship. We're cold. We're tired. We're going to die out here. We would have been better if we would have just stayed in Egypt and been slaves. At least the slaves have it better than this, they said. And God, in his graciousness, put up with their complaining. He tolerated their ungratefulness. All along the way, he guided them with a cloud by day and a flame by night. And he gave them manna to eat. And when they were tired of manna, he gave them quail. And he even parted the Red Sea. This story spoke to Lewis and I as we were packing up our belongings this summer. I got the point. God's got this. Yes, I know. But I couldn't help it. The situation was for the birds. You guys ever had a situation like that? It's like, I know God's going to provide, but this stinks. Life just was not being fair to us. And it wasn't but a few weeks of living out of my parents' basement when God led us to move here to Bloomington to be a part of Compass. Yay! This came with, to be honest, some real hesitation. We were both bleeding from gaping wounds from our last church experience. We were bitter, angry, mistrusting of leadership, and broken. How could we minister in this condition? Maybe we just needed a break, you know? Have you ever just wanted to just take a break from church? We've been there. We seriously asked ourselves, are we ever going to be able to be used by God again? Can we ever trust again? What if there's something terribly, terribly wrong with us? I remember when we first moved here crying hot tears. You know the kind that just sting your eyes and all day long you have that throbbing feeling in your eyes? And I was just begging God to take away my pain. I missed my friends back in Missouri. I missed my church. I missed the kids in my children's ministry. And I missed my worship band. I felt like death. And it was death, really, for us in a lot of ways, because everything that we had known was taken from us. I didn't want to take this unexpected detour. And it seemed to be heading in just the opposite direction of where my hopes and dreams for myself, where I thought they were. But I'm so grateful for good friends like Pastor Chris and Terry. They spent many days listening to us complain and grieve. And they offered us hope. And they reassured us that God most definitely was not done with us yet. Amen. Because those are some good, good friends. So today I want to tell you this. That when you go on a detour in life, hands you a bad deal. Number one, God does not leave you alone. During this detour time, we felt miserable, but God had us surrounded by family and friends, and my parents cleaned out their basement and moved us all in, and we thought we were going to be there for months, and then just 2 weeks later, they're packing us up and they're moving us out to Bloomington. People were there helping us and loving us. Chris and Terry helped us back on our feet, encouraging us and restoring our faith. Compass Church, you were there providing us with brand new friendships that we needed so dearly. And God was there. He most definitely was there, holding us close and understanding our tears. My favorite verse that God gave me during this time was Isaiah 43, 1 through 4. And I liked it so much, and it really spoke to my heart so much that I got one of those, like, chalkboard frames from Hobby Lobby, you know, the real fancy kind, and I drew this Bible verse really pretty on it, and I hung it in my kitchen, and I have to read it every morning when I'm sitting there doing my devotions because I need this reminder. Isaiah 43, 1 through 4 says, "Do not be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. And when you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am your God, your personal God. your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. This summer, we were so broken and lost and consumed by bitterness. Our whole life had been turned upside down. We knew that God would take care of us, but in fear, we asked questions still. Have you ever been there where like you're like, I know it's gonna work out, but I still, like, I need to know the details right now. How are we going to pay our bills? Where are we going to live? Where are we going to find work? And how long do two grown adults live with their parents? Almost in their 40s and living in your parents' basement. See, we just, at that moment, felt so ashamed, you know, and worthless. Really, literally feeling like we're having to start all over. But all along the way, putting on happy faces during the day. But inside, just dying. But we quickly learned that when God takes you on a detour, number two, God always provides for you. Amen? Amen. God didn't leave us hanging for too long. Within weeks, we were given a temporary place to stay at the missionary house here in Bloomington, provided by First Assembly. And then Terry's employer, Ken Wilbur, offered us a job at Wilbur and Associates as creative video specialists. That was making it financially possible for us to be here so that we could serve with Compass. I remember meeting him for the first time, Ken, at the Chinese restaurant. And at the end of our meal, he offered us full-time work. And both Lewis and I just bawled. I mean, we just broke down. I'm sorry, Lewis. He's up there in the sound booth. You're a real man, even though you cry. Sorry. Real men cry tears of gratefulness. We were so grateful at that time. I just remember how awesome that was. It was like a weight was off of our shoulders. Suddenly we could breathe again. Not only that, but a big miracle was in the timing of when we got our job and our new boss, Ken Wilbur, really made it happen quickly for us to get insurance, because we got our insurance just 1 month before I noticed a mass in my breast. See, this is crazy. God knew I had cancer before even I did. Back to the verse in Isaiah. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Although God's provision was allowing us to settle and take a moment to just catch our breath, I remember hearing the news that our good friend Bob Riggins' daughter Charlotte, who is a high schooler, had just found out that she had cancer. And on that day, like every day, we were doing our usual complaining about our detour situation, and we were grumbling about how we wish it would have worked out differently for us. And I actually said this, "Well, Lewis, at least we don't have cancer." Yeah, I actually said that. And when it rains, it pours. No kidding. Shortly after this one night at the missionary house we were staying at, I noticed an unusual mass in my left breast. I broke down to Lewis. "No, not this. Not now. We're going through too much and I can't handle anymore. Do you think that God is punishing me? Did I do something to deserve this? The pain was already so hard at this point, just tears every day, that I'm like, really, God?" See, the enemy's lies were plaguing and torturing me. And so this detour continued farther and longer and deeper into the unknown. A visit to my doctor, a mammogram, an ultrasound, a very painful core biopsy, and a stressful week later, the call. "You have cancer." In our most difficult detour moments, number three, I want you to know this, that God wants you to just let go and to trust him. Gripped by fear after a few weeks of sleepless nights, popping anxiety pills, and crying myself to sleep in Lewis's arms, And then, I don't recommend this, but I was reading every horror story about cancer and the type of cancer that I had, and everybody kept saying, stop it! Don't do that anymore. I was a wreck. I had no idea at that moment that it would take actually several weeks of getting blood tests, more biopsies, MRIs, x-rays, mammograms, and then finally surgery to actually kind of like diagnose and determine what my chances of survival were. Chances of survival. When I first read things like this on the internet, they made me cringe. I hadn't had to worry about survival until now. I just took it for granted. I'm alive. I'm going to live forever. And now my greatest hope was to be a cancer survivor, to last 1 year, see if I can get through 3 years. And then if I could get through 5 years, then I was really going to be in the clear. But me praying to be a cancer survivor, it felt like a horrible waste of time. I mean, if you know me, I just want to be busy. I don't want to get stuff done. I want to move forward to the next thing. And I didn't have time for cancer. Yet suddenly I found myself begging God for the life that I had just spent several months cursing him for giving me. I want you to remember those Israelites doing the same thing, right? Cursing God for delivering them from Egypt into what seemed like certain death in the wilderness. And I just want to share this piece of information about the Exodus story. This just blew my mind. I never really understood it till recently, but I want you to look at this map up here. This is the wilderness journey. You can see it start over here on my right, your left, over by Goshen over there. That's Egypt. The red line is what is to be believed the Israelites' journey through the wilderness till they finally ended up over here in Jericho, which is the promised land of Canaan over there. And this is interesting because these Israelites really, if they would have just taken a straight shot along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, see that? They would have gotten there a lot quicker, right? And honestly, they really could have, but there was this one point where their enemies were there, and they were threatening them, and God was like, I will be with you, and they're like, we're scared, there's a million of us, and we're hungry, we want more manna, you know, and stuff like that. And the Lord finally is like, okay, you know, you're right, you're probably not ready to go and trust me, so I'm going to take you this way, the long way around. And what I've heard said that this journey here would have taken like 30 days to get from Egypt to the promised land. But instead it took them 40 years of just kind of whoo. That just blows my mind. It took them way out of the way. The destination always was the same, this land of milk and honey. But they had to suffer through the detour and take the long way around. Maybe the Israelites needed 40 years of wandering to finally learn how to trust God. Regardless, God was with them when they were slaves in Egypt. He was with them when he was trying to take him the short route. He was with them when he ended up taking him the long route. And all along the way, he just desperately wanted them to trust him. But for me, I'm going to be honest with you here today. In my cancer situation, trust is hard. And for very good reasons, I've done a lot of crying. I don't like to admit it, but I've done a lot of crying. And I was asking questions, and I still ask these questions. I don't like this. There's absolutely nothing that I can do to change my situation. I can't do anything about this cancer. I have awesome doctors and surgeons that have a plan for me, but even they can't manipulate a pathology report. It's just going to be what it's going to be. And ultimately, I know that God can heal me, but I'm completely at his mercy for that. I remember feeling like that was somehow a bad thing, you know, to be in God's hands. Quite honestly, it took me weeks of wrestling with God until, in utter exhaustion, I finally relented. And when I did, God whispered to my heart, "You can trust me, Stacy. Even when death is staring you in the face, you can trust me." Again, the words from Isaiah, "Because I am your God," he says, "your personal God, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you." He gave his life on the cross. "That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you." And he loves you too. Whatever you may be facing today, he's not out to punish you. That's a lie from the devil, if you're thinking that. He wants more than anything for you to trust him. The only thing is, can you trust him to lead you through it his way and in his timing? Will you relent and allow him to lead you through the detour? Even when it's scary, even when it's long, when it's the scenic route, I told myself, "Hey, you're going through this anyways. You may as well let go, have joy, and embrace the peace that God's got it." Whether you're experiencing a serious tragedy today, I know that many of you are. I know your stories. Or maybe you're just experiencing just like a little bump in the road. Whatever it is, I just want you to know that there is a purpose for your detour. Because this is my next point, and I really love this. God doesn't waste experiences. Amen. Pastor Debbie Lindahl at James River Assembly in Springfield just went through her own battle of breast cancer this last year. She said it best. She said, "Well, I'm still here, and I'm not dead yet, so there must be a reason for it. I'm still here." I struggled, though. Why should I ask for prayer? Why should I tell people my cancer story? Why should I even say anything on Facebook about what I'm going through? Wouldn't God just answer my single prayer for healing without having to involve so many people praying for me? I know that's a dumb issue, a dumb question for a church leader to be asking, but seriously, I'm going to be honest with you. These are the type of questions I was asking myself. I'm just going to be transparent with you today. I have been weak. And when cancer calls you out, where you once thought you were strong, all of a sudden your knees go weak and you doubt and you question even the simplest things that you knew about God. But at the same time, I really didn't want to waste this experience. I didn't want to not share what I hoped God was going to do for me, which was heal me. God began to show me that my cancer detour may not be at all about me. It may just be for someone else. Probably somebody completely off my radar. I can't say it enough. His ways are not my ways. Even today, I wonder if I meant to connect with somebody who's going to be sitting receiving chemotherapy next to me in the weeks to come. Or maybe I'm going to meet somebody at a wig shop because I'm going to be there a lot. But that God is going to use me, and he's got a greater purpose in this. He's helping me to get my eyes off of myself and focus on how he's going to use this detour to impact others. I'm not dead yet, so there must be a reason. So I decided to post for prayer on Facebook, and my inbox blew up. Stories came in from people who were dealing with cancer too. I was surrounded by love and encouragement, and for days I danced around the house. I just felt so light and so happy. I remember saying to myself, "So this is what it feels like to be the center of so much prayer." And here I was like, "Why do I need to ask for prayer?" And it was like, "Hey, this is awesome. Keep praying. I feel great." Not only was my burden lifted by sharing my story, I was connecting with people that I hadn't talked to in years. No longer was I doom and gloom any longer, but God had me on a journey for me and my new army to face together. That's why so much prayer was required. God had a purpose in my cancer. He wants me to take as many people with him as possible, because where he's taking us, it's good. It's really good. And today, if you're struggling with something, anything, big or small, that's got you feeling helpless, bitter, angry, disappointed with the direction that your life has taken you, maybe you are in the midst of an unexpected divorce. Maybe you just lost your job and you have no idea how you're going to pay your mortgage or put food on the table for your kids. Maybe there's somebody in this room that's battling cancer. Or maybe you're watching someone that you love dearly fight for their life. If this is you and you're hanging on by a thread, no matter what your situation, I hope I can convince you to just hang in there. God's got something really amazing for you. He may just be clearing some junk out of the way to make room for that more fulfilling purpose for you. Problem is that we a lot of times don't see the junk as junk, right? We're going, oh, it's treasure. I love this. You may be holding very tightly onto it, but you need to let go. Trust him. Let him take you on the journey. And even if it's the long way around, it's going to be worth it. Because listen, you're not dead yet. So there must be a reason. So even though the last 6 months of twists and turns in my detour have been the worst ever, I mean really awful, where I've put a smile on during the day, but I cried all night long. But I can honestly say I'm grateful, and I'm grateful for what God has brought us through. I'm grateful that he's provided and he's shown himself to be good and to be trustworthy. I want to end with this. If your detour has left you feeling incomplete, I want you to know this. Number 5, God more than restores you, he reconstructs you. I love this. This is really like touches a special place in my life right now. This is the favorite part of my story. Part of my bilateral mastectomy includes reconstruction. Praise God. Yay. And I'm going to keep it PG for you here today. If you want to see me later and you want more details, I think it's just amazing what the doctors are doing. But I'll at least share this. My doctors, Dr. Naur and Dr. Poulter, did an amazing job with getting the cancer out. And then they started putting me back together again. And it's a process, and I'm so excited to know that I will look normal again. it's an amazing experience. And I had just a 4-hour surgery, and I only spent one night in the hospital. And after I was released, I took absolutely no pain medication. It was just a really good, they did a good job with me. And then Dr. Naur called me just days after my surgery, and he gave me the news. And this was like, da-da-da. Did he get it all? What did he find? Because you don't ever really know until you have the surgery that they can really figure out like what stage of cancer you are and what you're up against. And so my pathology report had come back. It showed that I had no cancer in my right breast, which I kind of knew, but I was being preventative. And that in my right breast, or my left breast, that all of the 5.1 centimeter mass was removed, and all of the margins around it were clear. Amen. Yay. Woo. And so I'm going, okay, that's good. But I do know that part of it is that it can kind of spread into your lymph nodes. So I'm waiting for the next part of it. And he goes, yes, we dissected 6 lymph nodes. That's all we felt like we needed to. And he goes, and then we sent them off to pathology as well. And all of them came back cancer-free too. Yay! I was like, praise God, this is the best news ever. I feel like I've got a light at the end of the tunnel. I still have to do chemo just in case anything got left behind, but I just feel like I've just got a really good chance of moving forward. And I just want to say this. I wanted to say that because it's just like the doctors did for me in surgery. God does the same thing for our hearts after we've gone through a tragic detour of some sort. And if we allow him, he cuts out your cancer of bitterness and resentment and mistrust and maybe discontent from where your life has brought you. He takes that, he cuts that cancer out, and he begins to make us whole again. He sews our parts back together and he mends our wounds. But I want you to know this. This is the interesting thing about God, is that just like me, I'm not going to ever look the same, you know, and there'll be scars from surgery. I don't think that we are ever meant, when we go through these moments in life, to come back and be restored to what we were formerly. I think the Lord takes us and he reconstructs us and he makes us a completely new creation. That's how much he loves us. Here's a prayer that I wrote in my journal just the night before I went to get my lump looked at the first time. I didn't know what it was going to be. I said, "Dear God, help me, calm my nerves, heal me physically and emotionally, and draw me closer to you." It's interesting to look back at that prayer that I had in my journal about how he's answered all of these: helping, calming, healing, and he's drawn me closer to him. Then I prayed this later on in my process: "Lord, give me eyes to see and a heart to act on the opportunities that you set before my path. I want to be your hands and your feet. And by the way, God, will you heal me completely at some point? I'd really like that. And I want you to make it a spectacle so everybody knows that it's you." You see, God's not done with me yet, and he's still healing me, and he's still taking me through this. And he's not done with you either. Let's pray. Jesus, there are some people here today, even in this room, even at the reach of my voice through a podcast, Lord, people who need some healing. Maybe they're just going through their life and they're putting on their happy faces, acting like everything's just great. But down deep inside, there's something that's missing. There's something that is broken. It needs to be repaired. It needs to be restored and reconstructed into something new. Lord, you've promised us that you're not going to waste our experiences, Lord. And so we give our lives to you today, Lord. We trust you. Whether we've got to take the short route along the coast, enjoy the smells of the air and the sunshine on our faces, or maybe we need to go the hard way, the long way around that takes a lot longer than we ever imagined and doesn't look like the life that we ever expected for ourselves. We can trust the fact that you do not waste experiences and that you never leave us alone. Lord, I pray today that there's anybody in here that feels like they're currently walking through the wilderness. I pray that you will secure in their hearts today that you have got this. Whatever it may be, that they can trust you to take care of it. Lord, restore us. Mend us, put us back together. Give us back our passion and our dreams. Maybe for some of you in here, you've just kind of lost that passion and that excitement, and you're just going through the day to day, and you're going, "Lord, this is not the life that I expected for myself. This is a detour from where I thought I would be by this point in my life. Lord, restore my passion back for what you have for me and give me purpose again. Set my eyes on you. Lord, make me better than I was before." I know it breaks your heart to know that we're broken and you care about our smallest details. Lord, things that we may feel are insignificant and we don't need to bring to the feet of our Father, Lord, you don't see them as insignificant because you love us. You're not punishing us. You love us. So we'll bring even our smallest hurts. We'll bring even the smallest things to you, Lord. And Lord, I'm not just going to go there. I'm going to say the big stuff too, because sometimes we like to hold the big stuff for ourselves because we think, oh, this is too big for God, or I need to handle this on my own in order to prove something to myself, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would heal us from that kind of thinking, that we would lay everything before your feet, especially the big things. And you begin cutting the cancer out of our hearts from broken relationships and our dreams that haven't quite been realized. And you start mending us and putting us back together. Lord, we love you. We trust you. And we give our lives wholly and complete over to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise today.
Amen. Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.